Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Mystique Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyle and wellness, and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy's TKL radio show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. Now, normally, we start off with our nutrition segment. However, today I decided to kind of keep you on your toes, and we're going to go ahead and get straight into the interview. We're going to flip it. We're just going to flip it. So, without further ado, joining us tonight from Las Vegas, we have WBC Latino Heavyweight Champion, originally from South Carolina, who started out fighting amateur and transitioned quickly to pro with 18 pro fights, 13 by way of knockout. It is my privilege to introduce to you Mr. Johnny Rice. Let's see if he's on the line here. Let's see. Johnny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm happy.
All right. That's what's up. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, long training day, like every day, but I'm happy, and I'm grateful. I'm healthy and doing my best to be wealthy.
I heard that. That's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing, my friend. I want to thank you for being on my show tonight, you know, because I know you're super, super busy. You're training like constantly. Every time I try to get a hold of you, you're in the gym. You're always training. So I believe you said you're originally from South Carolina, and then you moved to L.A., and now you're in Las Vegas. Why did you move to Las Vegas?
Well, originally when I moved to L.A., I was in a camp called All-American Heavyweights. So I was surrounded by boxing 24/7. I was in Carson. I wasn't in, Santa Monica and the beautiful Hollywood. I was in Carson, where it was just nothing to do but box, and that's all I was surrounded by. But come to find out that was the same type of atmosphere as Las Vegas. You see what I'm saying? So once I realized that, I had to move to Las Vegas so I can really be in the heart of boxing.
Nice. Did you feel like you were in your element when you moved out there? Did you feel like this is the right move? This is you feel like you're embraced by the boxing community. Do you feel better being out there in Vegas?
I mean, 100%. You know, 100%. I felt like this was the right place I needed to be. I wish I'd have been in Las Vegas earlier. You know, Los Angeles, the reason I really had to move, like I said, was because, you know, All-American Heavyweights was a program that, you know, it ended. So once that program ended, I had to relocate to Santa Monica, California, where it was more so about fitness and everyone looking good. And so you can make a lot of money. Like a dear friend of mine, Leon Azabuki, who's a owner and operator of Glove Works. So you can make tons and tons of money in the fitness industry. But as a professional boxer, who have to fight every day, I would have to be submerged in the fighting culture. And that was not in Santa Monica. It was going to be in Las Vegas.
Nice. I see. And, you know, speaking of Las Vegas, you know, opportunities. I mean, the other day when I called you, you were saying that you're sparring against Luis Ortiz, which is a big name right now, you know, getting ready for his big rematch with Deontay Wilder, which is an amazing match. And you are blessed, my friend, blessed with being able to, you know, work out with him. What's that like? How's that going?
Honestly, it's unreal. You know, obviously, I've never met Luis Ortiz before this opportunity. I've only seen highlights. I obviously saw the first fight with him and Deontay, and I was blown away. I thought the fight was amazing start to finish. And for the rematch to occur, first of all, Luis Ortiz had to, you know, fight through obstacle after obstacle to get himself back to the championship level contender. So he had like 3 or 4 fights to, you know, get him back to the second chance. Now he has a second chance to try and be the first Cuban heavyweight champion. So just that story alone was so inspiring. And the moment I walked into the gym, I mean, there he was looking as angry and strong and like the real King Kong. So, I mean, he's nothing but business and extremely focused. And I'm just doing my best to prepare him and help. Working closely with his coaches, whatever they want me to do, I'm doing my best to do it because it's going to be one heck of a fight on pay-per-view this time. The first one wasn't on pay-per-view, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to be huge, and opportunity is great, and sparring him is just, you know, riveting, you know. Adrenaline always pumping. It's just unreal, really.
That's amazing. That is really, truly amazing. I mean, his first fight was such a great bout against Deontay Wilder. I mean, they both punch like extremely hard. I mean, heavyweight. So okay. It's a battlefield when they step in the ring for sure. So I don't want to ask you like what it feels like to be rocked by Ortiz because I know that, you know, every punch hurts. It doesn't matter. When you get punched, it hurts. It hurts, right? It's
the
hurt game, right?
Game.
But the key is to hit and not get hit, right?
That's the beautiful thing about being in Las Vegas. See, obviously, not only am I going against the best or some of the best, like in Luis Ortiz, I also have some of the best coaches, like in Bones Adams, Brandon Woods, you know, to say the least. I also work a little bit with Luis Ortiz's coach. So with that being said, they prepare you to be able to take the punishment, prepare you to be able to deliver the punishment. So it's like I'm surrounded by the best on both ends, both the fighting part and the instruction. You see what I mean? So that's why I'm so happy to have the opportunity to prove to myself that I made the right move. But, yeah, Luis Ortiz is a devastating punch. Devastating, okay? And this is going to be a great rematch.
Yeah, I got to say. Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely some punches hurt. Like, some people punch a little harder than others. So some punches hurt a little bit more than others. So, you know, you getting the best of both worlds, though, because you're preparing him, but he's also preparing you, my friend. Like, he's actually in there, you know, preparing you with all the coaching that you're getting from your coaches, from his coaches. He's making you be on top of your game. So it's kind of an equal opportunity, you know?
I completely agree
with
that.
It really
is. You know, I also did some research too, you know, and come to find out, Luis Ortiz is also a former WBC Latino American champion. And I was just blown away by
it. Really?
I'm like, here's this man. Yes, here's this man about to have a second title shot. But we both had the same belt. So I feel like I'm definitely on the right path. I have to give a huge thankful gratitude, praise, whatever you want to call it, to, you know, the great Rodney Hunt, who's, you know, owner and promoter of GM3 Promotions. I call it global, okay, because everything he do is global in different countries. He even has Donnie Brown fighting in Germany. I don't know how you do that. Fighters fighting all over the world, but he helped me and position myself to fight for that belt. And come to find out, Luis Ortiz has the same belt or had the same belt, and we both won that WBC heavyweight world title. So I'm in great company.
That's right. That's right. Right. I mean, shout out to Rodney Cruz Hunt for recently being on my show last week. We rocked that last week with GM3 Boxing, and And he had a birthday too. Happy birthday. recently. You know, and you know, he really is. He's building, Rodney Cruz Hunt is building champions. You know, he's setting platforms for fighters. He's so knowledgeable. When you talk to him about boxing, he knows, he's just such a book of knowledge about boxing. And, you know, I understand that he promoted, you know, that recent fight that you spoke of, and to get you that belt, the WBC Latino belt of Tijuana. Can you tell me a little bit about that fight? Like, what happened? Can you tell me, get your commentating on about that fight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, for me and everybody else too, you know, whether you're doing business, whether you are going to an everyday job, no matter what you're doing, going to college, preparation is the real key. You know what I mean? Even getting to that fight, I had to go through so much, you know, so much traumatizing battles of self-doubt and self-awareness. And I was so thankful to have the great coach Jim Bolden with me as I made this, you know, this journey to decide, you know, and to show my manager, Greg Haney, that, hey, look, I'm going to be a world champion. I had a big loss in Montreal, you know, but I'm going to come back from that no matter what. And I'm going to show everybody, I'm going to prove myself. You know, and so it was a constant preparation, constant mental battle, constant physical battle to first get to the fight. You know what I mean? I even had people that I thought were very close to me tell me I would never be champion. So that hurts every day. You know, I had to have that in my head. But, you know, I had those people I call pure believers in you, and I'm a pure believer. Anyone that believes in me, I'm a believer in them, you know, no matter what. But the preparation was really the key for the fight. And going into that fight, I just did what I prepared to do. I had to deal with a lot of thoughts of, oh, what if I, like, trip and fall down, or what if I miss this dude and, you know, sprain an ankle or something. You know, just so much different thoughts went through my head of what could go wrong for my championship fight. But you know what I told myself? I said, I can only focus on what I can control. And I have a great jab. I have a great right hand. I have great boxing skills. I have great stamina. I'm going to show what I have. I'm going to show what I prepared to do and do it. And no matter what happens, and if things don't go my way, then I'll adjust and keep pushing forward. So, yeah, in the fight, I feel like it was a little bit of a boring fight because I was just mainly cautious because I just wanted to win so bad. So I do apologize. I just, you know, kind of stuck with the basics. But that's what's going to get you to the top, the basics. But I am working hard to be a very exciting fighter because I want the people to go crazy when they watch me fight. I want them to say, hey, this guy got a mix of finesse. He has a mix of aggressiveness. He has a mix of, you know, flamboyancy. That's not really a word, probably not, but it sounds good. He has a mix of it all. He can do whatever he wants in the ring, and we love to watch him. So that is what I'm working on right now, building off my, you know, skills, fundamentals to become a very exciting and powerful fighter, you know. So I'm going to do that here in Vegas. I know that.
That's real. That's real. And, you know, it's you know, all these fights, they build you. You learn something from each and every one of them, you know. And some people actually think that, you know, fighting in Tijuana is easy. But there's been actually a lot of great champions like you who's, you know, came out of Tijuana with a belt, which opens up a lot of doors, you know, for opportunity for you. Can you think of some champions that you know who fought out of Tijuana that, you know, opportunities knocked at their doors?
First, let me address that first thing you said, that people think it's easy to fight in Tijuana, okay? It's not. Let's say at one point, you know, we're talking about 4 or 5 years ago, yeah, maybe it was easy to fight in Tijuana, right? Because that's when boxing, I feel like, first started to become a thing in Tijuana, okay? But if it started about 5 years ago, that means the people in Tijuana that have such a huge increase in economy, well, guess what? They want more of that money. So they started training harder and harder. Next thing you know, the level of competition starts to even out. Well, if you don't go down to Tijuana and you don't prepare yourself, you're going to lose. I remember like 2 months ago, like 3 or 4 Americans lost, and they was like, oh, I didn't train, thought the fight would be easy. First of all, no fight is easy. If you have that mindset, you don't really want to be champion. So now the boxing coach in Tijuana, due, I guess, to the economic growth, has become extremely competitive. And, you know, the scariest thing is when you're about to fight, they're all yelling one name, Andy Ruiz, Andy Ruiz. they yell it like crazy, and it sends a cold chill down your spine knowing that you better be prepared because they're here to win. Mm. They're here to upset whoever is in front of them, and the crowd cheers like crazy for the hometown hero. If you're from Tijuana, you have literally almost a sold-out venue of people cheering for you to just fight hard against the American coming
wow.
down to fight. And it's just, it's like, it's unreal the way boxing has grown.
Pride.
It's not an easy fight. It's not, pride.
Yeah.
Exactly. Pride is not an easy fight down there.
Yeah, I could, wow. And so you feel kind of like you got all odds against you, you got everybody chanting the other, your opponent's name, and you're out there, and you got to tune it out.
Yeah.
And I mean, what was that like for you, you know, to try to tune everything out, you know, because I know, like, when you're in the ring, it's like you feel like, you know, you're nervous, you know, your adrenaline is pumping, and how do you tune things out? Like, what's your go-to to kind of help tune the crowd and everybody out?
I mean, my go-to is just the way you think. You know, at the end of the day, they are there to see a fight. They are there to see a fight. They're there
mm-hmm.
to see you perform no matter whether you win or lose. Obviously, I only try to think about winning. So they may be cheering for him, but it's my job to win the fight and win the crowd over because it's still a competition. I want them to love me just like he wants them to love him. So I don't necessarily think about the crowd. I just think about the fact that if I do what I came to do and I do what I prepare to do, the crowd's going to love me and I'll be victorious. So that's what I tell myself. Inside of that ring, it doesn't matter where we are. It's just me versus him inside of that boxing ring. And that's exactly what I focus on. I focus on him. It's going to be you or it's going to be me. And it's not going to be me. That's what I tell myself. That's what I focus on. And that's that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For real.
Yeah, that's good. That's yeah. I mean, if it's a choice between you or him, you definitely, you know, that's a good mentality. That's a great mentality. And
yeah.
I understand that you actually have a fight in TJ next month, right? Coming up.
Yeah, we're trying to work on a December 15th fight for the WBF Intercontinental Championship, same belt that Roy Jones Jr. and Evander Holyfield had. I'm a big fan of both of them. Currently, Donnie Brown has that belt. He's fighting in Germany, so I don't have to go all the way to Germany, thank God. I have to fight in Tijuana,
yeah.
which is, you know, maybe a couple hours away from Vegas flight-wise, and I'm very excited about it. I just want to win championships. I want to just keep growing, and I've been preparing much like I have before and just increasing my skill development, increasing my dedication, and just constantly staying around people that are pushing me and helping me grow and believing in me.
Nice. And that's what it's about. You know, we said, Rodney and I last week, we were talking about, you know, you're only as good as your team, you know. Who you keep around
True.
You is so critical. It's so critical who you have around you, who influences you, who motivates you, who doesn't, who you got to cut from the team. Sometimes you got to cut people from the team if they ain't, you know, positive for you. But, you know, the people that push you and make you better, you don't just want a yes man in your corner. You want people to kind of give you a little challenge because, you know, I always, you know, say, like, if you don't hate your coach for a minute because they're making things hard on you, then, you know, then what are you messing with them for? Because, you know, your coach is supposed to make you go, gosh, man, I got to do this again. Are you kidding me? Because, I mean, it's hard. It's hard work. It is hard work. So if you – nobody can sit there and laugh through the whole training and feel like they got it like that. No, it's hard work. So there's going to be those little bumps in the road. There's going to be some grunts. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It makes you better. So, you know, in terms of training, I mean, because you train so much. Every time, you know, I've talked to you, you're always – I'm coming out of the gym. I'm going into the gym. What kinds of training – do you do like on a daily basis or a weekly basis? Like what kind of training do you do?
Well, you know, much like the moon goes in cycles. Okay. I try to train in cycles. Okay. So almost every day I try to hit three different things, boxing, you know, my skill development as a boxer, my cardio. Okay. And then, body conditioning via weightlifting. Now, sometimes I may not lift weights. I may just do body weight. But those are the three things I try to do on a daily basis. You know what I mean? So Then, of course, recovery, yeah, which is very important. And, you know, obviously as a nutritionist, you know, the right things you need to eat to make the body feel refreshed, okay, so you can continue training. So the intensity may vary. Like some days I'll have a super hard day where the boxing is hard, rigorous, and the weightlifting is rigorous right after it, you know, because I want to just, you know, push myself to just endure it. And then the cardio right after that is just, you know, vigorous as well, okay? Then the next day I may do it on a more lighter level, so it's not as intense, but I still do the same thing or different variations of the boxing, the cardio, and the weightlifting, you know what I mean? But another part of my training is film study. I watch a lot of film. I feel like I am very athletic. I feel like I do have a high boxing IQ for someone who started very late. So it's almost like if I see someone do it, I feel like I can do it if I was in the same situation. So I study a lot of film. So, yes, other heavyweights, I am watching you, okay? I'm watching you all the time. I'm watching your YouTube channels. I probably follow you on Instagram. I probably follow you on Twitter. So believe you me, I'm watching all of y'all, okay? And I get fight offers a lot of times for these guys. But I don't really take them right now because I just feel like you're not offering me enough money. And I tell people that, you know, and I may even be overpricing myself. But I'm the one that decides the price for me because I'm the one that look in that mirror. You know what I mean? If you want me to fight bad enough, then you meet my price. Or I would do my best in working with, like I said, a very progressive promoter like Rodney Hunt to increase my value. So now you got to meet my demands. You see what I'm saying? But in the process, I'm also training and growing in knowledge, and I'm watching all y'all. So just understand that, you know, I kind of got off subject. But yeah, my training is, like I said, it's in cycles. But I try to hit the core three every day.
Nice. Yeah, and I mean, you definitely stay disciplined, and I really, you know, can appreciate and respect your hustle and grind. Like, you are always, you know, in that gym and making it happen. And, you know, I tell you, that hard work will pay off. Hard work always pays off. It always pays off. It never fails. You know, and I'm glad that you actually touched on nutrition. I mean, you know, I'm a nutritionist, so, you know, I'm really into that. So I'm glad you touched on that. You know, being a heavyweight and even mentioning nutrition to me is like, wow, that's commendable in itself. You know, but you know, your health is your wealth, and what you put in your body is your temple, and what you put in is what you get out. So, you know, even though, you know, you're a heavyweight, you know, being healthy is not just about working out. It's about what you eat. It's about, you know, there's all kinds of different health, right? You have mental health, you have physical health, you have nutrition, you have all different types of health. But in terms of, you know, nutrition, you know, do you feel that it's really important? I mean, have you ever ate a hamburger and went into the ring and tried to spar? I mean, honestly, and then versus when you eat something like, you know, chicken or turkey or, you know, something healthy, have you ever ate something unhealthy and went into the ring versus healthy and went to the ring and noticed a difference?
No. And the reason is because, you know, you mentioned to me moving from South Carolina, I played basketball and football, so I was kind of accustomed to what I should eat before a basketball game or a football game, and it kind of does carry over into boxing. You know, you're competing against someone else. The type of competition may be a little different, but, you know, I do know that there are the right things you should eat that are efficient or, let's say, have a purpose. So that's what I try to focus on. What am I eating, and does it have a purpose? You know, it's kind of funny because, like I said, I sparred Andy Ruiz last year for the first time, or maybe earlier this year for the first time, you know, and he actually asked me about my diet, you know. Shout out to Andy Ruiz, first Mexican champion in history, which is amazing, heavyweight. And I just told him, I said, look, eat a lot of spinach. Just that's all I can tell you. I'm not a nutritionist, but I know one thing: eat a lot of spinach.
Popeye.
And so every time he saw me for like the rest of the year, he was like, "Yo, Rice, I've been eating all my spinach," and I could tell because whenever he would hit you, I'm like, "Man, this dude didn't turn into Popeye or something," because he is hitting harder for sure, and I can vouch for that. So obviously we all can because we saw the amazing fight, and we're looking forward to the December 7th fight, but. I just feel like my diet right now, I try to eat a lot more vegetables than I eat meat, you know what I mean? So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what I do. a lot more vegetables than
meat. I like to hear that. I like to hear that from a heavyweight who doesn't have to cut weight.
Oh, yeah.
And you're saying that. I love it. I love it. That's amazing. So speaking of heavyweight, you know, the heavyweight division kind of got a little stagnant for a while. And all of a sudden, it got really exciting again. And so,
that's,
you know, because there's a lot of talented athletes, you know, in this division. So it opens up a lot of opportunity for you in your career. So who do you think is the most dangerous heavyweight champion out there right now, aside from you on your definite come-up mission?
I
know you're going to do big things,
Johnny
Rice. But, you know,
I
know you on that come-up mission. I got you. I got you. But aside from you, who do you think is ill in the game right now?
I mean, first of all, it's like you said, it literally went 0 to 100. It was stagnant, but now it's just filled with talent. It's like, if I try naming names, I'll be sitting here going on and on because, you know, I'm not a hater or anything like that. I'm a congratulator, and these guys are out here really doing amazing from, you know, quote-unquote new guys, Olympians. I guess the biggest name I could say right now who just came into the heavyweight division, and I'm not saying he's the most dangerous. I'm just saying it's like obviously we got to look out because this guy came from cruiserweight to heavyweight, and I think he's even like the mandatory WBO challenger, Oleksandr Usyk out of Ukraine. And that's the only reason I say that is because he is a new guy on the scene. And we all know the other names of the champions right now, Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, you know, we know those names already. Andy Ruiz, you feel me? But Michael Hunter, who's a superstar right now, and he has a big fight on the undercard of the big fight rematch. Obviously, we know Luis Ortiz. We know tons of names. Of course, all those guys over in London and Britain, you know, shout out to Joe Joyce, inspired him a whole lot, you know, and he's just unbelievable. So it's so many names. I can't even start because I wouldn't stop. But everybody out there right now, everyone you step in the ring with is dangerous until you take him out because it's you or it's me. And I'm watching all y'all, okay? Believe that. I'm watching all y'all. Every last one of y'all. You feel me?
So,
they all amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you talked about that you were a football player, basketball player. You've been an athlete kind of your whole life. What motivated you to kind of make a switch and become a boxer, like as a completely different sport? Like what got you into boxing?
I mean, it's kind of funny because I'm always remember gold medalist Henry Tillman say to a group of us, not just me, you don't choose boxing. Boxing chooses you, you know. And I believe in that statement because – in South Carolina, you know, I was dealing with a lot, you know, good enough to go play basketball overseas at a lower level, you know, decide I can make a switch to football at semi-pro level and start to excel and getting offers to go, you know, play arena football and practice squad football. But then I got a call out of the blue from All-American Heavyweights, which is a company started by Michael King, rest in peace, whose sole purpose was to bring the heavyweight division back to America, okay? That was his purpose. So he had his scouts go out and try to find athletes all around United States, okay, to see if they want to give boxing a try. And he said he would fly you out, give you a place to stay, give you the best trainers. And that's where I first met Coach Henry Tillman and other great coaches and other friends that I have in boxing, like Dominic Brazil and John Hamm. But Charles Martin actually became IBF champion. So he actually made Michael King's vision become true because that was the goal. Find an American with no prior boxing experience, train him, and get him to the championship level. And I'm still a part of that legacy. Dominic Brazil is still going strong. And, of course, Charles Martin actually made it happen. You know, so to me, that's just, like, unreal. Like, you know, boxing chose me, and I have to give it my dedication. I have been guilty of not giving it my full dedication and full, you know, level of understanding. But now that's all I want to do is completely commit myself to becoming world champion. And right now I am the WBC Latino American champion, and that's just the beginning.
That's right. I was going to say, wait a minute, hold on. You are a champion. You are a champion.
Yeah.
But you want to be a champion
world,
of many
right.
different levels, and I respect
yeah,
that.
I need
that's
that
amazing.
World
that's absolutely
champion.
That's right. That's right. Go for it all. They say if it's meant to be, if it's meant to be, take the, what is it? Boy, it'll come to me in a little bit. I just lost my little train of thought. I need to chew some gum. If you heard my last segment, we got to chew gum, right? Get my, you know, it said, oh, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is going to kill me. I was like, I know this saying. It's a big quote for me. Take the risk or take the risk and take the fall. If it's meant to be, then it's worth it all.
That's a good one.
Something like that. It's like, you know what? You got to take that risk. And if you fall, it doesn't matter. Like if it's meant to be, you risk everything. You risk it all. And, you know, basically what I want to say is that, you know, you are a champion already. You won that belt, but you're going for more because you're hungry.
Oh, yeah.
You have heart. You have grit. I can hear it. And you're training hard. You're doing the work every day. And then you're surrounding yourself by good people. So all of those elements together, you have it right in front of you. All you have to do is walk right in it. You just have to walk
right
into that success. So in doing that, when you go into the ring, if you fight for that really, really big title, and you know how they have the whole entertainment going on, the whole ambiance going on, you know, the songs and all that stuff going into the ring, what do you envision yourself, like, on the biggest fight of your life? Like, what song would you want to play going into that arena? I know it's a tough one.
I have no clue what song I would play right now, but
what are some songs that you listen to when you train? That gets you amped.
One song, it'll probably be a Rick Ross song. It'll probably be a Rick Ross song. I woke up in a brand new Bugatti. Rick Ross and who's that? Ace Hood. Or it'll be a Rick Ross and Meek Mill song for sure. Because, you know, obviously Meek Mill from Philly, Rick Ross from Miami. I'm from the East Coast. You
yeah.
feel me? So it'll probably be a Rick Ross or a Young Jeezy song out of Georgia. Because, you know, he's from Atlanta. And, you know, like, I'm from the East Coast.
Nice.
I'm a Southern boy, you feel me? So it's going to be one of them. It's going to be some deep Southern song. Rick Ross and Meek Mill, or like I said, Rick or East Coast, like I said, Rick Ross and Ace Hood. It's going to be something where we out here for this money. You feel me? So,
nice.
And we're going to have
nice.
A good time. So
that's
it's going to be
that's
it's going to be hype. That's all I can tell you. And we're going to put on the show. I try to put on the show every time. And leave it all out there, you know. Because right now, like you said earlier, it's about hitting and hit and don't get hit. But to be honest with you, you know, coming
right.
to boxing so late, I do feel like I have a natural boxing ability, okay? Highly credible coaches compare me to Ali or Roy Jones. But, again, these guys have been, even Floyd Mayweather a little bit, you know. But these guys been fighting since they were little kids. So that comparison, you know, may be just because I'm more of a mover. Okay, but now I'm looking
yeah.
like, okay, the best way for me to box and really take over is to just fight. Like, I don't really care no more about the skills, you know. And what I mean by that is I'm more so instinctive. Like, if you throw a punch at somebody, they're going to duck, right? So that's just instinctive.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I'm just coming to try to beat you up. So that's what I'm coming to
yeah.
do. And that was my mindset. When I won my belt was, you know, in preparation, me and Coach Jim, we didn't even go to the gym my first fight after my loss in Montreal. We, when I say the gym, boxing gym, all we did was, like, do explosive drills with the intent, like, hey, we're just going to go and punch somebody as much as possible, period.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be so strong
yeah.
that even the hardest hitter ain't going to faze me. I'm going to be so – have such great reflexes that – if the punch come, I can see it without seeing it and just get out the way and then continue to try to punch you because I'm done trying to box. To be honest, I'm just trying to fight. I'm just trying to come to fight.
That's right.
I'm 6'5", about 255 pounds, and I'm definitely strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just coming to fight you. That's my plan right now. But, yeah, that's where I'm at
yeah.
currently.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you touched on that, like, with the different styles in boxing, you know, you study film a lot, and there's so many different, like, crazy styles in boxing. You know, you have Floyd Mayweather, who, you know, he'll put his arm down, and he has, you know, it's like his face is right in front of you, and he uses his whole arm to block his body. You got Deontay Wilder, who's crazy and, you know, throws these crazy haymaker, like, unorthodox, like, moves. He's got these crazy, crazy, crazy moves. You got, like, you know, somebody's like a triple jabber. You got Manny Pacquiao, who pounces. You got all these different crazy styles of boxing that all work. They all work. Who do you think, you know, because you watch a lot of film, like, which styles do you kind of pattern yourself after? I mean, I know you're obviously yourself, but what do you kind of see that works for you?
What works best for me is just, you know, obviously, like I said, I have been compared by credible people, by the way, not just some guy at the grocery store. By Ali. When I break down Ali, I look at the fact that, you know, he moved around a lot, okay? I've been compared to Roy Jones Jr. He relies on his reflexes. But what these guys do is they throw a lot of punches. But my favorite fighter right now that I do take a lot of inspiration from, besides Floyd Mayweather, okay, I love him to death, is Sugar Ray Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that can really do it all.
Mm.
They can box you. They can pounce, like you said. They can do the shoulder roll. They can do a little bit of everything, and that's what Floyd said in the interview a lot. He was on a lot of controversy because he was like, I'm better than Muhammad Ali. No one wants to hear that, okay? Nobody. But he came back and explained what he meant. He was like, you know, I have studied Ali, so I've tried to grow. I try to take some from him. I try to take some skills from Mike Tyson. I try to take skills from Sugar Ray. He's basically saying he tried to learn from everybody, and that's why he's saying he's better. He didn't mean any disrespect, so... For me, I try to be a complete fighter. I know I can move lateral, I know I can move forward, I know I can move back. But the one thing I really need to work on all the time is throwing a ton of punches with all that movement. But like I said, Sugar Ray Leonard, to ask you a question. I love Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's one of the best of the best. One of the best of the best. I actually got to meet him at the Mike Tyson premiere when Mike Tyson did his documentary. And he was just such a humble, nice gentleman, and just it was such an honor to meet him because he's a legend. He's absolutely a legend. So that was a real honor and treat for me to meet him and get my picture taken with him. I was just like, this is a legend right here. You know, he's pretty amazing. And you know, so who do you feel, you know, inspires you to be better? I mean, I know it doesn't even have to be a boxer per se, like who inspires you to be better? Like, you know, sometimes I know, like, what I used to do is I used to put quotes up on my door, and anytime I got knowledge from anybody out there in the world, whether it be a movie, a coach, a teacher, a friend, anybody, I would take that knowledge and I would put it on my door, and I literally would close my eyes every day and I'd point to one of those quotes and I'd read it to myself. So as I walked into the world, I would know, like, look, this is something I'm going to carry with me to give me good energy for the whole day. What inspires you? That's what I did. Like, what inspires you? Who inspires you?
I would have to say you got two different sides of that, you know. I would say humanity inspires me, like you said, people I meet, you know, children, adults, young adults, people I meet. I want them to say, you know, this man right here, he wants to help others. That's what he wants to do. So by doing that, my fighting, I wanted to help inspire people, like, because like you said, I went through a lot of controversy to even become the Latin American champion. I'm going to go through a whole lot more. So the people that inspire me are those people that really put others first. You know what I mean? Like, those people that do good from their hearts, no matter if it's holding the door for somebody, no matter if it's, you know, yeah, giving money to a beggar on the street, no matter if it is, you know, just doing something nice for somebody. Like, we're human beings working together. Like the other day, some person said, hey, man, like, I'm at the gas station. He said, can you help me jump my car? I'm like, sure, you know, shit. I just bought a brand new battery. All right, yeah. I helped him jump his car, you know, put the cable jumpers on there. Next thing you know, he said, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Can I give you money? I said, no, just do something nice for somebody else. So that inspires me to push myself in boxing because I know that, you know, as I grow as a boxer, then more people will try to find out who I am, and I want them to understand who I am as someone who wants to help others. So maybe they'll help others. But another on the other end who inspires me are the critics. When people talk bad about me, I don't want them to talk bad about me because then you become my enemy, of course. But when you – I do take motivation from what you're saying. Or if you give me constructive criticism, I'll listen. So mm-hmm. The inspiration is going to come from when you are talking about me. If you're talking good about me, then, yeah, I'm going to be inspired by that. If you're talking bad about me, I'm probably going to classify you as my enemy, but I'm still going to be inspired by that too. But at the end of the day, humanity inspires me. People inspire me. This whole world.
That's yeah. Really good. I mean, that's a great thing. I like what you said. You know, we're here to help people. We're here to make a difference.
Yes.
We're here to inspire each other. We're here, you know,
yes.
It's if more people did good and more people helped each other, man, this world would be such, you know, a better place, you know, and just people be happier. So it's really cool to hear that you, you know, are given from your heart. And, you know, I feel that'll come back around to you. It always comes back around. So, you know, we're getting ready to transfer into our nutrition segment, but I wanted to see if you have any advice. Any last thoughts and advice for some up-and-coming fighters out there that might be listening to you tonight?
Yes, I do have. The biggest advice is this, you know, obviously we all hear everybody say believe in yourself, okay? That's hard to do sometimes. But not just believing in yourself, but understanding the sacrifice it's going to take to get to where you want to go. And the best way to do that is, you know, look around you. If the people that are around you are not successful, you chances are you won't be successful. You have to sometimes, you know, put yourself in position. Well, all the time, you have to put yourself in position of success. You have to. There are blueprints all around us. Like a house is not built, and unless there was a blueprint first made, foundation was laid. So you know, don't ever get down on yourself if the process is taking too long or if things are harder than you thought. You know, dig deep. Find the inspiration in yourself, find inspiration in others as well, because we all united, you know. So just, you know, don't let nothing stop you. Don't doubt yourself. Believe in yourself. Keep digging deeper. And like you said, if you fall, get back up and keep going, no matter what. It's the same old thing you hear
That's
all the
right.
time. Just believe it for real. And I write down stuff.
That's
a lot of
real.
Stuff. I would say keep a record, because everything – even our history, quote-unquote, whether people believe it or not, even, you know, let's say our accountant at the banks, everything has a record. So keep your own record of your success so you can fully understand what direction you're headed in. So, you know, big time.
That's really cool. Yeah, you know, that is really true. And, you know, you never know that you could write that in a book and you can keep building on that book, and then someday somebody will have that knowledge that you're giving them. So I just, you know, I want to thank you, Johnny, so much for being a part of the show tonight. And I know that you said some really inspiring things, and I'm so looking forward to watching you grow in your career. And I'll be at that fight. I will be at that fight in December, and I'm really looking forward to it as a fan. And, you know, I ask that you listen later back to the show, because there's a supplement that I'm going to be talking about. I have no affiliation with this supplement. You know, I'm going to be talking about MCT oil. And, you know, just me being a professional sports nutritionist, it's a really good product that I recommend for every fighter, for anybody in sports. It's just, it's a great product that helps people. It's all natural. And so, you know, I encourage you to listen to that later. And I just want to thank you so much for being, you know, on this show, and I'm going to see you in the ring, champ, next month.
Oh, yeah, you know it, every day. It's just the beginning. Thank you for having me.
You got it, champ. Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
So, folks, make sure that you follow Johnny Rice on Instagram at Forever Johnny Rice. That's Forever. Johnny is spelled J-O-N-N-I-E, Rice, R-I-C-E. If you follow him on Instagram, you got to check out this jump rope video that he just made the other day. There's a little backstory to it too, so make sure you hit him on the DM. And it was fire. You know, he's got some moves. He's got some crazy moves on the jump rope. He's fierce. So you know, before I get in my nutrition segment, I want to say happy birthday to you, George, a Flash Boxing Gym. I hope that you have a wonderful time celebrating tonight. Be safe out there and just enjoy yourself, enjoy life. And also, I want to give a very special shout out to Mr. Donald Brown, who Johnny Rice mentioned earlier. He's in Germany. He's in Medebach, Germany, and he's getting ready to weigh in tomorrow and prepping for his bout on Saturday for the WBF featherweight belt. He's been training extremely hard for this fight and been following, you know, his training, and it's just incredible. He's got an incredible team. What's up, Rodney? What's up, Henry? What's up, Stuart? You know, shout out to all of you. You guys got this. You're going to bring home the belt. I have every bit of faith in the world that you're going to bring home that belt. I want to say good luck. You got this. And you know what? After he wins this belt, please take him out for steak. Actually, chicken fettuccine. Make sure Donald gets his chicken fettuccine after this fight. Not before the fight. Let's do that after the fight. Whatever he wants. Go out and celebrate Donald after his fight. So just want to give a special shout out to him. He's been working really hard, and I know he's going to do amazing in this next bout. So today, as I mentioned, in regards to nutrition, we're going to talk about, you know, MCT oil, which I discovered through my keto journey, which I might add. I gotta give myself a little bit of props tonight. Actually, this morning, I've been waiting to hit that 20 mark on the scale, like losing 20 pounds. It's been like, oh, is it today? Is it today? I wake up in the morning and weigh myself first thing, and I'm like, is it today? And for some reason, I had a feeling it was going to be today because I'm just, you know, I was so excited for my show tonight, and I'm like, just good energy happening right now in my life. So I did. I got on the scale, and I was so shocked. I saw the 20-pound mark, and I, like, got tears in my eyes. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's so easy to put on that weight, but it's so hard to take off that weight, you know. And, you know, so I just want to say that I lost 20 pounds officially, yeah, in 10 weeks, which is, like, crazy, right? Since August 24th, that's when I started this keto journey. And, you know, as for those that listen to my first show, keto, it's a lifestyle. I don't believe in diets. I believe in lifestyles. You know, I kind of look at it this way, like, in the corner, we have fats, and in the right corner, we have carbohydrates, and it's a boxing bout right here, you know, fats versus carbohydrates. You can either fuel your body off of carbs, which you're going to have to keep eating more and more and more and more and more and more carbs, and a lot of times they stick to you, you know, and put on weight, or you can burn your energy off of fat, which is sustaining. You know, you're going to have that sustained energy, a higher metabolism. You're going to be more satisfied. You're going to eat less. So, you know, the analogy that I always use is it's like putting kindling or sticks into the fire, like carbs, that's the carbs, versus a log, a slow sustaining burn in a fire. You know, the log is going to take longer to burn. So this is kind of what I'm doing to my body right now. I tricked my body into eating. I kind of do, the only thing that I do actually do is eat a little bit less, and it's because the fats fill me up. It's not intentional. I'm not starving myself. I just feel full. I really do. I feel full. And a big part of this keto journey has been discovering MCT oil. That has been a godsend to me because it's hard to eat a lot of foods with fat. When we talk about foods with fat, we're talking avocado, we're talking bacon, we're talking cheese, There's only so much like fatty foods that you're gonna eat all the time before you're like, ugh, you know, you kind of get tired of them, or you don't get enough. You don't get enough fat. I gotta eat a lot of fat for me to be able to burn off of fat versus carbs. So in order to get that fat count up, I've been supplementing it with MCT oil, which you just get at any store. I bought mine at Costco, super, super inexpensive. And I just use like a tablespoon to two tablespoons a night. So you ask, you know, what is MCT oil? Well, MCT oil is a supplement that derived from a type of fat found in coconut oil, goat oil, breast milk, palm milk. It's made from three bonded medium chain triglycerides, hence the name MCT. MCT stands for medium for M, C is chain, and T is triglycerides. And those are the fatty acids that are bonded together. And this particular type of triglyceride, it's smaller than most fats that we eat. So it makes it easier to actually digest and absorb into your bloodstream quickly. So what I love about the supplement is it actually turns to energy right away. So how I start my day and how I've kind of done it for years, I love having my protein shake in the morning. It kind of gets me going. I have a protein shake, and now I add this little extra tablespoon of MCT oil to it, and it gives me that little pep without that jittery feeling. It gets me going, that mental clarity. You know, you can also put it, you know, in your salad dressing. So you can, if you're not a protein shake person or coffee, you can actually put it in coffee as well. Then you could put it in your salad. But you don't want to have too much of it. That's why I say maybe stick with one or two tablespoons until your body kind of gets used to it. One day I took three tablespoons and I didn't feel so good. You know, my stomach turned into knots. I'm not going to lie. So don't take too much of it. I just do one tablespoon, one to two a day, and that's it. And it gets my fat count up, and then my body immediately converts it into energy. So what I'm going to give you tonight is 20 benefits of using MCT oil. However, actually, I'm not going to give you 20. I'm going to give you 14. I lied. I'm going to give you 14. But it's really like 20 because I'm going to give you a lot of twofers and threefers in these steps. And whatever I don't get through, because I'm probably not going to get through all 14 in 7 minutes. So I'll get through what I can get through. And then tomorrow I'll be writing a blog, and I'll be releasing that blog sometime this weekend. So look out on my Instagram or Facebook, and you'll see a link to the blog where it will have all the benefits. You could read up a little bit more on MCT oil so you're more knowledgeable on it. So we're going to get into number one. Number one, as I mentioned, it helps you intake more fat, which is necessary for everyone's diet. Everyone needs fat in their diet. And all this low-fat, fat, non-fat, that's garbage. You need fat in your diet. And so if you, especially for those keto people, you have to have fat. That's the whole premise of the lifestyle. So, but also this oil can be beneficial for those who have fat absorption disorders or diseases, such as cystic fibrosis or Crohn's disease, pancreatitis, short bowel syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome. This will actually be beneficial for those who experience that. And number two, it helps you lose weight because you're actually satisfying your hormones. It has peptide and leptin that gives you a sense of being full and or satisfied with your hunger, which helps you with the appetite control. So therefore, if you're not hungry, then the simple math is you're not intaking so many calories. You know, a lot of people would read the label thinking, oh my gosh, too much fat, too much calories. However, as I mentioned before, fat is a essential nutrient that our body needs to function properly. It helps to absorb vitamins A, D, E, and K, which makes up our cell walls and insulates our body to protect our organs. So, you know, our bodies can't, you know, they're pretty amazing, but they're not so amazing that they can produce all the fats that we need in our diet. So that's why MCT oil is a great supplement to help supply those healthy fats. Which brings me to number three. It gives you energy, making it unnecessary to store those bad fats. I recommend the MCT oil. You know, you put it, like I said, in your protein shake, your coffee in the morning. It gives you that boost to get up in the morning. I'm trying to kind of do away more with coffee and just go into my protein shake and use the MCT oil. I'm finding coffee's not agreeing with me lately. It's just not really the best thing for me, but everybody's different. The MCT oil with the protein shake is really what's helping me. Because it literally like goes straight from your gut to your liver and converts into energy or ketones. Now, what are ketones? Ketones are the substances that are produced when fat breaks down from the liver for energy instead of using glucose or sugar. So that's really important. It's really, really important. You know, another benefit that I find interesting, number four, is that MCT oil can actually help with inflammation, which is interesting. So I think this would be good for people like Johnny, people like Donald, people out there that are boxing, people out there that are playing basketball, people out there that are playing football. If you're in sports, you can experience a lot of inflammation because you're overusing, you're working your muscles to the nth power, or just in general. People experience, even if you're not an athlete, you experience inflammation. MCT oil is the way to go. Which leads me to number five. It can actually boost your strength, especially in the aging population, which I work in currently with my nonprofit. I work with older adults, and it's great for older adults boosting their strength, which we know as we get older, our bones become more brittle. We need things to help us with our strength and be stronger. And it also produces ketones, which is good energy source for your brain. For older adults, not just for older adults, but for people in general, but particularly for, you know, older adults who could be experiencing Alzheimer's or dementia or forgetting, having memory challenges. It could, you know, help produce those ketones that pass through the blood-brain barrier, helping you think better and create better memory retention, make better judgment calls. So this could be a really great thing. You know, for those that are experiencing that and need it for that reason, you can go to the Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation and look at the studies that have been conducted on that particular topic to learn more about that. So there's a lot of great things that I want to get into, but unfortunately we're kind of coming to an end here. The time has went by so fast. If you want to hear the other benefits, there's amazing benefits that I'm going to post on my blog, so make sure you check those out. Soon I'll be posting that on my IG at TammyWilliams540 or Reese, R-E-E-S-E 119. Or I can send you those benefits personally. Just hit me up on my direct message, DM me. Also, I want to remind you that my show is on twice a month, and my next show will be running in 2 weeks on November 21st, Thursday. So make sure that you listen to my next show and stay blessed, everybody. We're going to play a song by Kimball Hooker, Stepping Out. Shout out to Kimball Hooker, and I'm sending prayers for you and your family tonight. I know you're going through some things, but saying some good prayers for you and sending good energy. Thank you to Johnny Rice for being on my show. Stay blessed, y'all. Take care.
Yes. Party people in the house. Stepping out.
Hey,
stepping out all night, y'all. Hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping out
all night, y'all. Hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping out
all night, y'all. Throw your hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping out
all night, y'all. Throw your hands in the air, party right, y'all.
I can see the sunlight through the rain, and baby girl, it's you. You stimulate my from your head to your toe, rockin' red bottoms. You looking fly like a top model. You need a runway so we can chill and pop bottles. Ladies jealous cause they see you. Me and you chillin' in the VIP room. I'm loving the way you got it all working. We steppin' out on the red carpet.
Yes. Party people in the house. Steppin' out.
Hey,
stepping out all night, y'all. Hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping out
all night, y'all. Hands in the air, party right, y'all. Stepping out all night, y'all. Throw your hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping
out all night, y'all. Throw your hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Sexy like a picture in a frame. Baby girl, your body tight. It's hot just like a flame. Can I move a little closer? You knock me off my feet. We step into the beat. You so hot, can't take the heat.
Check it out now. Stepping out in the club, party coming through. All heads turn, everybody see you. Throw your hands up, everybody pop bottles. Celebrate like a boss, all you, mama. Got your friends here chilling in the room. Party going down, stepping out on the town. I'm loving the way you got it all working. We stepping out on the red carpet.
Yes. Party people in the house. Stepping out.
Hey.
Stepping out all night, hands in the air, we party right.
Party right.
Stepping out all night,
yeah.
Hands in the air, we party right.
Let's go.
Stepping out all night, hands in the air, we party right.
Party right.
Stepping out all night, hands in the air, we party right.
Stepping out all night, y'all. Hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping out all night, y'all. Hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping out all night, y'all.
Throw your hands in the air, party right, y'all.
Stepping out
all night, y'all.
Throw your hands in the air, party right, y'all.